Good thing I got my Monster with me. No, we're not sponsored. We just act like it.
We'd like to be.
Underwear.
Like three people on Instagram, like, I don't know how these guys aren't sponsored.
I don't know.
Buy white Monsters left and right. How much should that shot? You just go, like, buy their clothes and just wear it all the time. Look for make it so you make it.
We just need to have white Monsters ourselves.
Silent Mike and Jim McKee.
Here's your host, Mark.
Well, we just have white, like, little tiny wieners.
Little,
we don't have white
aliens.
We don't have white Monsters.
Then you think we'd get signed.
Yeah, we need something bigger to be working on.
I feel like
with.
We need tattoos and like a BMX bike or something.
Michael, your microphone is not all that happy at the moment.
Hello?
Oh, now you're fine. Okay.
I was just back here.
You're just a little too far away.
Yeah, I don't want to like nose breathe.
Nose whistle.
God, this smells like shit. Where has this microphone been? It's disgusting.
That's why it's got a condom on it.
Yeah, little do people know this place is a porn.
Hey, we just got done benching. We just got done benching.
Benching and then putting
people
this,
that are listening.
It was a benching convention.
People that are listening and not watching on the YouTubes have no idea of the tricep pump we have going on right now.
Yeah, my peps are huge. Well,
we all have our shit covered at the moment, too. So you know.
We were pec decking our way to being fitter in 2015.
Fame and fortune.
Yeah, I can't wait till the pec deck's actually here, though.
Oh, my God.
When's that happening?
I don't know. We got to get it. We got to start pec decking.
We should put it. It should be in this corner behind me. Just a pec deck machine.
Yeah. The golden pec deck.
We'll just leave it right here in the studio.
That'd be great. Get a
we
bronze.
We need to get
the pec deck studio.
We need a real pec, like the
one
that has
I'll
the pad.
It. I'll find it.
Hurts so bad.
We'll get it for like $200 too.
Who invented that motherfucker, man? That thing
Dr.
hurts.
Dr. Pec deck.
Dr. Pec. Is he related to Dr. Floor?
Yeah.
Or do they go to the same school?
Dr. Squat.
Oh, Dr. Squat. Dr. Squat.
We just had to put this room back together. But we got new carpets. That whole stained business that was going on here before.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
No, these are like hotel carpets. Yeah. That kind of remind you of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Now it smells a little less like ass in here, but we'll fix that. We'll make it smell like ass once again.
Dude, smoky. So we went to a...
I'm trying to get the carpet to match the drapes.
We went to a strongman competition yesterday, and like it's a tiny room. It's probably about this size. I don't know what size room we're in, but it was small. And, like, chicks are deadlifting in the middle, judge, whatever. And then tons of people packed in there. And Smokey has no shame. That dude's farting up the whole fucking gym.
Yeah, remember, he's farting up a storm at my house. We were watching the Bones Jones
fight. Yeah, we're on the couch chilling. Like,
and he tried to do a fart walk, but it wasn't a polite one. It was like...
No, I think he farted inside and then walked outside thinking it would follow. And it just stayed, obviously.
I mean, if you do a fart walk and you're at somebody's house, you're going to have to do like a lap or two around the house to make sure it's not stuck in your shorts.
He's fucking
crop dusting.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he was crop dusting.
He was disgusting. He was
I thought you were going to say he was perving on the chicks. No.
He was like laying it down, and it was thick.
No, same with yesterday.
You know when you have a hot one creeping in there, you know what I mean?
Well, he told us he drank, a whole carton of egg whites. He's like, oh yeah, my new regimen. You fucking sick bastard.
Burdick's always texting me about his ass problems. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, it's another bad day. I was like, yeah, any day that ends with a Y can be rough, you know. But I texted him one time. I was like, are they really hot? And he's like, I'd be more concerned if they were cold. But you know when you got, like, an evil one in the chamber. Like, normally you can kind of tell. Like,
yeah.
Like, I better just walk away from everybody for a little while and just let this one loose somewhere.
Yeah, but the room
maybe
was
even
like,
the bathroom or something.
Yeah. The room was like hot and small and fucking claustrophobic.
It's so big here that if you need to take a, you know, if you not take a dump, but you need to take a, you need to
take
drop
a shit
a
right on the monolith.
A shitless shit, basically, is what you're trying to take. You know? Just a big air biscuit, right?
There's plenty of rooms in here to fart in. You can just walk into a separate room and just let
one
loose.
There's like five rooms we don't even use.
This is like a
mansion.
We could have a fart room.
But when we were in the old place...
We got the new toilets, too. Souped up, ready for people to shit.
When we were in the old place, toilet. I would want to try to step outside when I had one brewing, you know? And I'd get outside and there'd be nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I know. I hate that. It's trapped. It somehow got re-trapped.
For some reason, where does it go?
But the old gym smelled like shit anyway.
Yeah, it did.
That's why you could fart anywhere. Plumbing issues.
I like that about like bars. Like if you're at like a bar that's loud, it already the people spilled so much beer.
Yeah.
And people are just dropping so much ass, and it just has a funky ass. People are dancing and shit.
Your doorman is Dick Lickerson, so he already smells like shit.
It could smell in there for 9,000 different reasons, but you can just totally do fart walks all night long. It's awesome.
There's like comedians that talk about that all the time in airplanes. Like, it's so loud. Like, we're talking eye to eye, and I'm farting right now, and you have no
idea.
An
airplane is
on.
Like a giant toilet by the end of the fucking flight. You're on one of those 6 or 8 hour flights.
Inhaling feces for your whole flight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
babies puke. And
you're just
shit.
Like, I mean, you know, you just get some people just dropping some evil farts in there. You're just like, oh, my God.
Why did you say some people when you're talking about yourself?
I'm trying not to be too obvious about it.
I spent 15 hours traveling the other day, a lot of that on airplanes, and I had to fart so bad a couple of times. I felt really badly for the people around me, but, like, what are you going to do?
No, I feel they make those seats, like, if it's a floating device, it probably absorbs your shits pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, but you can probably just go
some
ahead.
Of them are kind of like pleather, though, and you can't really fart off those very well.
I've never been on those fancy airplanes.
And you have to reposition yourself enough to
get. If it's like a cloth one, you can fart into it, like, really.
That's what I'm saying. Those
nicely.
Ones.
Those are great.
It just sucks it in.
I have to raise a butt cheek, though.
I think getting a pillow would be good.
Every time.
Yeah, otherwise it, like, creeps up your back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, like.
What, are you in a pool? How
does
it
you
creep
ever
up your back?
That? Like, I don't know, because your legs are so close together.
No, I've never had that
it's
happen.
It's so weird. It's awesome when it happens. It's amazing.
So you give you a little tickle all the
what way? I like to do is I like to grab the guy next to me and then be, you know, lean forward and be like, hold on. Like,
you're having a baby?
Yeah. The guy's like, what are you doing? I'm fucking farting. I'm in tons
I'm
of pain.
I'm in pain, yeah.
I got abdominal cramping. Leave me alone. Don't judge me.
We're in this together.
Yeah. Just fan that thing away for me when I'm done.
Work with me here.
Damn.
Oh, well. Jeez.
So did you... You guys get a chance to work on the script?
Yeah. Farts for 20 minutes.
All right.
Labor pains for the next 10.
We've only done 6 minutes, so we're going to need to do more fart jokes.
You ever have it, like, so bad, like, where it almost doubles you over in pain?
That's what you're talking about. No,
that's what little Smokey was talking about. Like, he said that his stomach hurt so bad. Then he told me and Mike what he ate, and we're like, you're a fucking retard.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I think he put his egg whites in a whey shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
You expect not to fart?
A carton.
Yeah.
He went through, like, a whole carton. He's like, oh, I had the worst gas all day. And he, like, works on a train or something. So
just farting up and down.
Just blowing it up.
Just step out between the cars.
It's like, oh, yeah, well, it's not obvious why you were shitting yourself. You were having 400 grams of protein in a meal.
He's a 180-pound little person.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What was he thinking?
He's gross.
Should I just use less egg? I'm like, don't use any egg.
Yeah,
let's start with that.
Why?
And so now he's like, yeah, I've been totally fine. I'm like, God damn. Fucking idiot. Cook your eggs, you fucking moron.
Yeah, so weird.
Stop shitting yourself
over
the place.
Eat food, not slop.
Anyway, we got an original. We got an OG ST member here today, the largest Mexican in the history of the world.
Is that a fact yet? Are we?
It's not really based.
But it's kind of certified.
Nothing here is the truth.
That's true.
This is fucking bullshit super training. Everything's a lie. All of our stats, everything. We got Amadeo Novella here, one of the greatest back spotters of all time, and now has a gym in Midtown area. Is that correct?
Yeah, Midtown.
Now has a gym in Midtown, Sacramento, where he does a lot of coaching and personal training and works with some very high-level athletes. So we're going to be asking him a bunch of questions about that shit. How long have you had your facility for? I know it's just been a little while. How long you've had it for?
1 year. 1 year in January. So.
God damn. How big is the place?
It's 8,000 square feet.
Shit. You got 8,000 squares?
Feel free to choke up on that, as I like to tell people it's a penis. Poop. There you go.
Yeah. Smell it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. What's your background? So we know, you know, now you're coaching some people and stuff. What's your background? You play any sports or?
I played college football. After college,
You went to college?
Yeah, I don't
know. Holy fuck. you hear that, Mike?
I can't even inspire you
to get off the couch and stop being a bum.
Nope.
God damn it, Mike.
Yeah, I don't need another college
Jim went
speech.
To college. Jim went to college, too.
I went to college. Well, I got 2 degrees, but my undergrad degree took 5 schools to get through.
Wow.
Because I was a bum.
How many schools did you go to?
Just one. Only one of them.
God damn.
I couldn't get into the other one.
How are you so smart?
So I went to school.
But you went to school for football.
Yeah,
you didn't give a
much.
Fuck about school.
Did you study like strength and conditioning stuff, or were you just all over the map?
No, I was. I walked in. Actually, it was pretty funny. I wanted to be a lawyer. Well, I kind of made it up that day when I went to go to college. She's like, "Well, you're going to major in sociology." So I ended up being a social
there you
major.
Go.
So, and then after school, I did everything I could to avoid getting a real job. And
That's the way.
I'm still right on there. That phase.
That's the way.
And I met a guy named
I thought Paul. I invented that. Fuck.
I met a guy named Paul and worked at his little – he had a sports supplement shop, and he had just opened up a gym with Burdick.
Right.
And Burdick was working for him, so he sold the
business.
Paul Southern.
Southern, there we go. Yeah.
And he brought me over to work with him, and it was him, Jesse, and another guy named Chris Lupo. So that's how I started. So
why does Chris Lupo sound familiar? Where's he at?
I think he's in Montana. He owns like a
CrossFit gym. Yeah, I went to his gym.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And that's then, why he sounds so familiar.
Yeah, goddamn.
And then I met with you guys through Jesse when I moved from the Bay Area to Sacramento.
Who are some of the people that that you've been following and people that are inspiring you to, you know, to coach? Like, what are some of the things, you know, you said you didn't necessarily go to school for exercise science and that kind of shit. So where have you kind of, obviously in the gym is where we pick up a lot of our knowledge, but who are some of the other people you've been following over the last couple of years?
The last couple of years, obviously the people closest to me, you guys here at Super Training Gym. That was kind of my
Fuck yeah, you guys hear that out there? Fucking Super Training Gym. That's how he trains elite athletes.
Like a real
fucking deadlift, benching, and squatting. I love it.
A real gym. Jesse, obviously Paul, and then from the internet,
you've been doing some interwebbing.
Yeah.
So the internet can be used for other things other than pornography and perving.
Yeah, I think
sometimes
when you have time for other stuff, which is, you know, is minimal. You can learn a few things.
After you do your business, then yeah. You can. Okay, yeah. I get you.
I'm still confused.
Huh?
I'm still confused.
It's porn first, learn second.
Okay.
There's a lot of bullshit out there. So you
gotta... I didn't know there was rules, but this is very educational.
Yeah,
so
this
far.
Is great.
Yeah.
Porn first, education second.
That's
great. I would teach my kids that.
I would have to say that over the years, I've kind of watered it down. So Eric Cressy is one of the guys that I – there's a few sports performance guys, a few powerlifting people.
When you say sports performance, you're talking about steroids, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you have a lot of guys on a lot of steroids, basically.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good for you.
That's
worked for a lot of guys.
Yeah, you found a recipe that works. You fucking
yeah.
instill it.
Stay with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's called it's Balco. Balco style.
Going, yeah. Mike Boyle.
What type of athletes have you been working with predominantly?
Mixed martial arts. I worked a lot. I've been lucky enough. We're here with Team Alpha Male, so I've been working.
Martial arts is kind of my thing. I got a mean roundhouse kick. You'd nice. Surprise the hell out of you. Hit you right in the shin.
Right in the ankle.
I just can't.
And I'd tear my hamstring in the process.
Foot going past your hips.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't happen. It wouldn't. I don't think it'd be very successful.
Yeah, but you can scare people. A lot of MMA
with the
guys.
Crane kick.
Mixed martial arts, some baseball, youth, younger guys in the baseball, and then just regular jokes.
How the fuck do you train guys for MMA?
What
kind of stuff are you doing with those guys?
The basics.
You have them coming in, chewing some fucking raw meat, you keep them in a cage, and you get them all pissed off? I mean, what do you do with these guys?
Yeah, they get all mad and let them out every once in a while to fight. I don't do much, so it's all simple stuff, you know, learning how to move better. It's probably the first thing that I'll work on if they're garbage. I'm lucky enough to have been with the guys for, I think, like 4 or 5 years now.
Right.
So they kind of get it.
Now you're working a lot with the guys here in Sacramento at Alpha Male, right?
Yeah.
With Uriah Faber.
Yeah, it's Uriah Faber's team. Joseph Benavides, Danny Castillo, Cody Garbrandt. I've worked with a lot of the guys over the years. Some
right.
of them still come in. Some of them kind of don't.
And a lot of these guys are currently fighting in the UFC.
Yeah.
Which is a huge deal because the UFC is the cream of the crop when it comes to mixed martial arts. And they don't, you know, it's not like they don't just accept anybody. I think, you know, in terms of like the weight class, probably how many people do they have per weight class? Do you have any idea? They have 8, 10, 15 people per weight class?
I just read the other day that they had 568 guys on their roster.
Right.
Total.
So yeah, total. Yeah. So I don't know how many per weight class. Right. I'd imagine like the 155s is stacked, so
right.
there's probably a lot more fighters in that weight
yeah,
class.
Yeah, right.
Flyweights, they're just building it, so there's probably a lot fewer fighters. But I don't know.
How do these guys, so they get like a, you know, contract, and then do they – it's probably based on performance, somewhat based on entertainment. And do they sign like per fight deals, or do they get like, you know, someone like Danny Castillo, does he fight like three fights? You know, he signs something for three fights or for a year or two. How does it work?
So they start obviously in the smaller shows and the area, and then when they get signed, when the UFC signs them, they have their manager, and then they'll sign a contract for 3 to 5 fights, whatever the UFC's looking to get you for. And then from there, you just fight for the UFC. The UFC, it's still a young sport, so they can kind of just kind of cut you whenever they want, but you're in a contract with them for however many fights that
So if you sign for 5 fights, but you get smoked on like 2 or 3 of them, you're kind of in the hot seat, right?
Yeah. It's a very not for long business.
Yeah, they're gonna have probably fairly quick turnaround.
Yeah,
but entertainment value matters too. Yeah, if you get
knockouts.
Yeah, if you get 3 losses, but they're all close or entertaining or bloody, maybe they'll keep you around.
Yeah, if you think about it, if the 568, there's only one Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
one John Jones. How many of those guys can actually sell a pay-per-view?
Yeah, right.
Or sell out an arena, even Ronda in their hometown. Rousey,
a couple big time names.
It's a really small percentage of those guys are bringing that type of a draw.
What? Right. Maybe 10,
how many people are in 8? Basketball?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like 16.
Yeah, 16 per roster, maybe.
There's 30 teams. Or
yeah, 32. Teams
whatever the math is.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
That.
That's a tough. About the that's same. Hard. Yeah, that's yeah. hard to make that.
An yeah, NBA and it's roster. The same thing in the NFL, right? People are like, oh, the average career is like 2 years or whatever that is. People get blown away, because Manning and Favre and all these guys play forever, but like, people play a year, suck, and get kicked.
You said you played some football. Did you make it pretty far with football? Where'd you play at?
I started here in City College in Sacramento. Then I went to San Jose State University, and after that, I dibbled and dabbled in arena football again, just avoiding a real job.
Right.
And then I stopped.
Was that kind of your thing to try to become an NFL football player? Was it sort of the dream, or?
Or were you just trying to get as much out of it as possible?
Or were you more realistic?
As long as possible?
Yeah. Actually, I wasn't. I think I kind of fell out of love with the sport the deeper I got into it. And then, so it was.
Well, going to San Jose State, too, and being exposed to the people there and then the people on the other teams, you probably kind of started to think, well, fuck, man, maybe I'm not as good as some of these other dudes, too, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
I think I went through. Every year of college football, I had a different head coach. I was always like being pulled in these different directions.
Right.
And I think when I gained the most experience was my final year when I had a coach named Dick Tomey. He was our head coach. He had been coaching forever.
Right.
And going through that, they went through a rebuilding year where the team had actually, when I left, they won a bowl game and had some success after going through the process of like breaking down a team. And rebuilding it from scratch and like just rebuilding character, and that was really probably the coolest year I've ever been part of for a team.
Oh, that's cool.
How'd you get into the MMA world? You said you train a lot of MMA guys. You have them out there kicking with barbells on their feet and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. It was actually a funny story. Danny Castillo actually tells it best. Jesse had told me about your gym, so I went to Midtown. It was like a random night when I came up to visit my family here in town, and. We were this Camilo, who owns Midtown, took us through a workout, and at the end of the workout, he had everybody in the class. I think he had just got this new sandbag, and it was literally like a duffel bag from the military.
Right.
And he's like, "You guys have to do." It was like 140 pounds or something. And he was all pumped about it. He's like, "You guys have to do 100 clean and jerks." And we were like,
"Jeez."
This was after like the end of a hard ass workout. We're like, "Damn." And I was obviously like one of the biggest people in there, and Danny was like in his first week, like working out at the gym. We're like, all right, so we just went through it, and we kind of weeded out where it was just me and him. And I was like, I'm gonna do him regardless. Right. And then he's like, well, I'm not gonna fucking let you do more than me.
Right.
Anyhow, on rep like 90, I bragged this fucking picked up this bag and got it like in a rack position. And I just did everything I had to throw it over my head. And on the way up, this fucking strap grabbed under my chin. Because there was straps on this bag. And it yanked me, like, back. And like, so I hit, damn near hit my head on the floor, and my knees were like totally bent back.
Oh shit.
And I didn't know anybody at this gym, so like none of them really laughed because I think they were so worried that I got hurt.
That you
died. Yeah, exactly. And I kind of hopped up and tried to play it off like nothing was wrong, and I was like fucked for like 2 weeks after that. I think I was like on crutches for like a week after that shit. And that's how I had met Danny.
Right.
Anyhow, when I had moved up here, we were both still at the gym, and then just developed a relationship over time.
Cool.
And then Chad and Joseph and all the other guys kind of came in after that.
What are some things that you learned from training these guys? Because I know, like, you know, I used to do a lot of personal training myself, and you tend to get, like, all excited. You get all fired up. You hear about these different methods, and you kind of know the quote-unquote, or think you know the quote-unquote right way to do stuff with certain people. And so you get all hyped up. You're like, I'm going to have them do this. I'm going to have them do this. And you're all fired up. What are some things you learned, kind of like some things maybe not to do and some things to encourage them to do?
I think one of the most important things for people to realize is that, like, we love lifting weights. It's like your job. It's like our job. We're in the gym all day.
Fucking meatheads.
Yeah. But we don't understand that, like, this is – in the big picture, lifting weights, getting strong is, like, a really small ingredient for them. Because they're fighters first.
Right, makes up a smaller percentage of what they're really after and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so less is more. And just doing the right things, the basic things, rather than trying to do, you know, flips off the wall, and sledgehammers, and, you know, to try to mimic what they're going to do in a fight. Their practice is going to take care of that stuff. It's just get them in, keep them healthy, get them strong. And
so the main goal, you know, a lot of times isn't just to – you know, break down a muscle because you're not trying to, you know, trying to get a response necessarily towards a bunch of hypertrophy. You're not trying to, you know, smash them so hard that, you know, the goal for us a lot of times is to get stronger. But oftentimes we, you know, tend to train something so long or so often that it kind of slows us down for the rest of the week. So your goal is basically to do what with each workout? What are you trying to do with the guys?
It depends. Some of it gets individualized, so I'll break them up. And when I go into camp, the older guys, they everything goes into individually program. And for the younger guys, everything's general and it's just really basic. But it's really I'm trying to work on their weakness, so I'll run tests on them to see, you know, if they need to be stronger.
You rub tests on them?
Yeah, rub tests on them. Yeah, exactly.
That'll work their weakness.
And then develop power, you know, strength, if it's speed or, you know, whatever. And then I'll just try to find out where they're least good, where they suck, and try to make it better from there.
Is there any sort of, area that you had to work on specifically with MMA people, lower back or something like that?
Their hips. Posture is probably one of the for my guys, just because they come from a wrestling background, all of them have been wrestlers.
Right. They're kind of just stuck in that wrestling position 24 hours a day.
You know, so getting them out of that and then really taking care of their shoulders because it's the postures that they're in practice all day.
Right.
And then.
So you're basically just trying to unwind them from a lot of the things that they do on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever they're not doing, try to get them into those positions where they can and then they can manage them.
So some of these guys are becoming like, you know, fairly high-level athletes. Some of them are probably making some pretty good dough. So you have to be careful with, you know, kind of what you do and what you don't do with them. Your main goal and objective sounds like you're just trying to make the guys feel better for the day. Is that kind of what you're after?
Yeah. Well, obviously, as a coach, you think that, like,
everything. You want them to train hard, obviously.
Yeah, you want them to go hard, but they need to they're a fighter. They're not a weightlifter. So their career is first and foremost. And then it actually goes full circle because when I get young guys, like I work with a lot of the younger guys on the team, they're really starting just to learn how to do things, how to deadlift, how to pick things up or throw, how to throw medicine ball, how to squat, and then you want to teach them to do it right. And then they kind of come into that middle area where they're not in the UFC, they're not, but they know how to do everything, they know how to land, they know how to jump.
Right.
So then you can kind of have a little bit of fun with them. And then you can kind of progress them there. And then when they make it to this high level, it kind of comes back to being really good at the basics and finding tricky ways to make simple stuff more difficult and get them to reach the goal.
What about conditioning stuff? Do you kind of leave that to their sparring and just basic running, jogging, jump rope type stuff? Or do you do anything different conditioning-wise with them?
I in the past, it's changed. Like I've done stuff with them in the past, and as the further I get into it with them, the more I just don't even touch it.
That's because, what I find too. Yeah. Just with every sport, right? Yeah. You go play football right now, even if you're jogging and jumping rope every day, you're gonna die. Yeah. You go try to go play basketball, even though you've been running prowlers. It's just always so sport specific.
Yeah, yeah, unless there's a unless you're taking an approach where the strength conditioning coach, their specific coach, their skill coach, whatever you want to call it, is there, everybody's working under the same umbrella. It's really hard to manage.
Yeah.
So you really kind of just hurt them more than you help them. So you just you kind of have to be smart. Sometimes those guys want to do it, and when they get to that point, I think I'd, if anything, I'll throw a heart rate monitors on them, and then I'll teach them how it should feel, how they need to rest, and just like more of a learning process than it is like a hardcore conditioning.
Kind of get their heart rate to where it needs to be, and then let them kind of feel, you know, what that's like and the rest interval that would be appropriate and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I have no control over them when they leave me, and I know that when they leave me, they go do this crazy stuff. Because there's other coaches who they're doing other things with them too.
Right.
And they might, you know, they might think it's one thing, but
it's really a good lesson. You know, that's a really good lesson for any coach. That's, you know, coaching somebody, whether it's basketball or baseball, football, any of that stuff, is to get them to feel the proper sensations. And that way, when they go off and do whatever the hell else it is they're doing, they can kind of implement some of the things you're talking about.
Yeah. It's important for them to understand, like, not to kill themselves.
Yeah, not to get overboard. You mentioned throwing. You mentioned jumping. Those are all very basic kind of human movements. What are some other things you have them work on?
It's pretty simple. They have to learn how to land. All the younger guys come in. They learn how to land.
So
they learn
how to jump. They kind of jump off of stuff type thing?
Or? They'll do both. They'll jump onto boxes. They'll do reactive jumps. They'll do jump for power. I don't do a lot of Olympic lifting.
What's a jump for power? What's that
so
mean?
So they'll jump to see how high they can go.
Okay.
You know, so instead of me throwing stresses with Olympic lifts and training speed strength, or
right.
I'll use a lot of powerlifting tools. I'll do bands and chains, or
right.
We'll use jumps in place of stuff. They'll throw medicine balls.
Cool.
And that's a lot of times how I'll assess, you know, where they're at strength right. wise.
That's interesting.
What I need to work on.
And then do you do a lot of just like, you know, regular body weight type stuff when it comes to, say, like squats, maybe like dips, pull ups, push ups, those types of movements? Are those pretty popular with some of the training that you do?
Yeah, it's everything's working towards basically a squat, a deadlift. I don't do a ton of I don't do really any bench press with them while they're in camp.
Right.
And
is that more of a timing issue, or is there something with the bench press that
I'm unable to measure, like how many punches they're throwing.
Right.
You know, what's going on outside of me. Right. So I just find it easier just to make sure that when they come in,
train their arms in some different fashion.
Their shoulders are healthy. Yeah. You know, it's more about keeping the joint protected, being able to throw a powerful punch than
right.
it is doing some type of exercise.
You know, you'll sometimes hear coaches say, like, you know, someone like, you know, George Foreman from back in the day, you know, they'll kind of say, like, you can't really teach that kind of punching power. Some people just fucking have it.
Yeah.
And they say the same thing about speed. You know, you can't really – they'll say you can't coach speed. Have you found that to be true? You know, and on the flip side of it, is there anything you can do to kind of, you know, bring – there's got to be a way to bring some of that skill level up, right?
Yeah, I speed is very hard to train, to build on an athlete. You can make anybody strong, I believe that, but making them faster is really, really hard. And I think that as an athlete, they think that they're going to get that type of – in my gym, it's just strength and conditioning. They don't do MMA. They don't do boxing. They don't do – they all go to their gym for that.
Right.
That is really a specific, it's a skill. It's like squatting or having a really good squat or bench is a skill as well. And you have to practice that. So you can prepare them to be able to do that. But the really speed, like when guys talk about going to the track and running faster, it makes no sense because you're not going to run anywhere in the cage. Like,
right.
I mean, obviously you're expressing, you know, your power, what you're capable of doing, but it needs to be trained in a specific environment. So,
a different footwork or whatever else.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when they train speed, I'll tell the guys, like, that needs to be something that both me and their specific coach need to work on together, and we have to be able to work you know, to make that our workouts are aiming towards the same goal.
Yeah.
And we're not pulling this guy in many different ways. So speed in MMA is really about being really good at your skill.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it was Charlie Francis who's like speed, skill,
yeah, right,
strength, stamina. And then you train these guys in that order. So that's really important for them to get. Like, I can do the things that will set you up to make you faster, but throwing a combination is, you got to go to your boxing coach or your
that might be more technique based, right?
Yeah, it's really just becoming efficient.
Yeah, you explained that really well. I think it's a kind of a fad and too common for people, like, oh, we're doing speed work today, and we're not talking dynamic powerlifting, we're talking running, and kids are on ladders and parachutes all day, but they play baseball or they play basketball. Like, Muhammad Ali was fast as shit in the ring, but, you know, maybe I could out sprint him. Like, speed is specific, just like strength is specific, just as like being good at a sport is specific.
But it is too. A lot of it is genetics, what God and your parents give you. Like, I have
and guys skin color. Who are let's just, be honest.
Well, I have guys that'll come in that maybe aren't that fast, and then, you know, you get them stronger and they speed up a little bit. And then there's guys who won't lift a weight and they're fast as hell, you know. And they didn't really train that long to get that weight.
Joseph seems to be extremely explosive. Is he your most explosive athlete?
I think. Joseph's explosive. I think Chad Mendez is probably the most explosive guy that I work with. He's like, I told you earlier, he's like a walking fast twitch muscle fiber. You know, he's a very reactive athlete. So, he's it's crazy. You can put him in any situation and he'll adapt to it once he learns where he's going to. But, you know, with those guys, you also have to be careful. You know, too much is a big thing. They actually give him, some guys, you know, they talk about how little he has to practice. It's like, well, he doesn't. Yeah. He just doesn't really need to. He needs to recover from what he's doing so that he can maintain those things, because he can't be that
Who's that explosive, is it a worry sometimes that he'll fatigue quicker because he's so twitchy and so quick on everything? Does he kind of use a little bit more energy, or is it just he has a huge gas tank, so it doesn't matter?
I think that goes back to their coach. Like, they have to understand too that their sport is it's predominantly aerobic, so they need to be able to calm down. Being able to relax is just important to be able to be explosive. So they need to know when they can throw these punches, when they can't, how to find ways to kind of gather themselves in the middle of these fights, because they're not just 100 miles an hour for. They fight for 15,
they're back in their
25 minutes.
When they're back in their corner, they're trying to get their heart rate down. They're trying to
That's really what those minutes are. Is they try to teach each other. The coaches are trying to get their heart rates down, trying to get those guys to calm down and relax. Like, being relaxed is super important in that sport, as it is in any other sport.
You wouldn't think about that as being a skill, but it really is. That being able to take the break that's offered
and
to
the
you.
Nerves. I'd imagine the nerves of fighting in front of that many people.
Yeah,
Has to drain the shit out of you too.
Right,
you know, that's they talk about like your central nervous system and all that shit. That's a whole new experience. Just the audience, the noises that they make, and also the noises that they make kind of against you. You know, like if you're getting punched, you might not even be getting punched. You might even be kind of blocking the punches or whatever. But the crowd gets excited over any fucking movement.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like fight or those flight to the next level. You. Like, you can unsquat a heavy rack. A heavy squat and feel like you're going to die, but you're not really going to die. Like, you have spotters, you got this, you got bumper plates. Where, like, those guys, you make a wrong move, you're going to get your face like thrown in. You know, like, that's next level. Adrenaline's probably through the sky.
Yeah.
Is there certain things you do with them? You know, I know you're not predominantly a fighting coach, but when they do certain things, do you have them, you know, have their hands up or anything like that? Is there anything you do where they're, you know, moving their head? Like, there's any drills you do in the gym, or do you pretty much just avoid all that and let their
The most advanced I get into that is like shadow boxing, in rest periods when they're progressing towards a fight, instead of just standing around and letting their heart rate come down.
And you don't even bother to coach that. You let them kind of just do their whatever movement they know what to do.
Shadow box,
You don't say shit about it because you know they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Are they some different type of dudes? I mean, are they get emotional? You know, is there anything, you know, with coaching them? Because they're fucking fighters. I'd imagine that they're out of their goddamn minds in some way.
I think, yeah, the sport is very high, very low. You know, when you're at your highest, you're like really, really high. And mm-hmm. then when you're at the low, you're like rock bottom. So being able to try to find that middle ground is really important for those guys. But yeah, I mean, they're emotional, you know, they care, but they're actually like that team they're some of the best people I've ever really been around.
Oh, that's
they're
cool.
Like really, really good people. They're always right. positive. They're always happy. And they have, I think that's what draws the people in there. Uriah's done a great job, building that team on character. You know, he brings in good people and surrounds himself with those guys.
Right.
And if they're not there, then for the right reasons, then they kind of filter themselves out.
Mm.
But, as far as like highs and lows, I think that they all kind of get that, like, there's a saying with coaching, you know, when the players get down, the coaches got to get up.
Right.
And they all kind of bring each other up when it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches get it too. So
yeah.
When stuff happens, shit's going to happen in any sport, you know, the other people are trying yeah. to win too. So when right. it does, you know, your support group kind of stands tall. And
yeah, the fights are few and far between. I mean, yeah. with, you know, baseball, you know, you might play two games in one day.
Yeah.
Basketball, there's 80-something games. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of games to be played. There's a lot of – so if you screwed up and you lost by 20 points or you struck out a bunch on the baseball field, there's a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But MMA is not that way.
It's not yeah. that way. And you think about it, too. If you're competing against someone in any other sport, they're not fucking hitting you. It's hard not to take that shit personally, I would think. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's
got to be demoralizing in a way.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
other guy's like he proved that he's better than you. He
right,
kicked you in your
right,
fucking head
right.
and
I
fell
mean,
down.
If you think about what it takes, what it takes in terms of your own feeling of whatever self worth or your constitution to be able to handle that, and like, okay, well, I have an opportunity here. I can do this here. I know I can still be okay. This will happen. I'll do that.
Right.
I'll do this. That, you know, the mindset that takes to get through a fight.
Yeah, or recover from one. Yeah.
yeah,
it's crazy too because those guys aren't really guaranteed anything. I was talking with Joseph, and he's like, "For the last 2 years, I've only fought two times in a year, and that's hard because when you train year round, you want to have something to work for,
right?
You know, you're running yourself to the, or you're not, you sh- hopefully
right.
you're not running yourself to the ground, but you're building up your body. He's like, I'm in my prime, 28 years old, and I'm only getting two fights a year.
Yeah.
Like, I need to fight more." Because that's also experience, you know, just winning
right.
and losing.
Right.
And
plus it structures your training, too. You know
yeah.
what your deadlines are, you know, when you're in camp.
That's why all these champs that are, like,
he's
turning
down
fights and stuff, they are, they're looking at the big picture. They know when their body's going to be ready to do stuff. Whereas a lot of the Team Alpha Male guys, Danny, they would just pick up fights whenever, you know, they'd fill in, like, on the drop of a dime a week or two. Like, Cody just fought on, like, 5 weeks' notice. And,
Is that the kid that's kind of tatted? Did you just fight
yeah,
2 weeks ago?
Everywhere.
Yeah,
he's
tatted
everywhere, yeah. He did really well. But, I mean, that's how that's, you know, when opportunity knocks, you got to take advantage of it. So, yeah, the emotions and the breaks and not being able to fight or – but that comes along with experience, too.
Injuries, too, I imagine, sometimes slow them down, kind of difficult to deal with from an emotional level. You know, you're not working forward – not pushing forward because of an injury.
Yeah, yeah. We've been actually kind of fortunate that these guys stay pretty healthy. They kind of stay on top of things. We have a lot of little nagging injuries that
yeah.
have occurred over time. But when you throw, you know, 1,000 punches a week, you know, shit's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting punched in the face, too, by some elite athletes. You know,
because yeah.
yeah. it's a tough room that those guys are in.
What's your take on the whole because you played football and now you're dealing with fighters. What's your take on the concussion thing? We hear a lot about that right now.
It's there. I think the UFC's
right now.
The UFC's. I mean, it's inevitable. I think down the road, like, I think the sport is kind of commercializing, and the fighters. You know, I would imagine that somewhere down the road, there's going to be some type of a union drawn
right.
up, just like there is for every other league. And I think at that point they'll address it. But for now, it's just a bunch of young guys that are living their dream. Getting punched in the face, so you know.
I'm not even sure what you do, though. I mean, I don't know how you would protect them. You could control the number of fights that they have, but you can't.
I think one thing they could do that I noticed is they could be careful when they build a name to not, you know, ride that name out for too long. You know, like someone like Rampage Jackson.
Uh-huh.
It's like the guy's, you know, come and go, and I think he's coming back again.
He's already off his rocker to begin with.
Yeah. And
you want that guy with brain damage? Just kill us all.
Well, also, you know, the UFC will, just like the NFL, will take the blame. But ultimately, how many fights does somebody have in the UFC? It probably won't be that many. Yeah. If you're a really gifted and great fighter and you know, become a legend in the sport, you might have like 10 fights in the UFC.
Yeah.
Whereas you had like someone like Rampage has fought in Japan for years in some of these crazy matches, and who the fuck else knows what he did? You know what I mean?
Right.
Probably fought in some back alley weird shit that we don't even know about.
Right.
But. That's one area where I think they could do a little bit better job. I see them sometimes bringing back a name,
just for money.
Sometimes, sometimes it's to put money in that guy's pocket, which is cool.
Yeah, didn't Rocky just fight Arnold Schwarzenegger or something?
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, they fought each other. That was
ridiculous. They got to be careful what they do with Sly.
That was too much. Yeah, but like you can't control the sport. Same with football; they're trying so hard, but you can maybe limit the fights. You know, I'm not a huge MMA expert, but you say, all right, no one fights more than twice a year.
Yeah.
No one fights more than 20 fights in their career, at least under our control. You put limits on that, and then you know who knows with the research. The research's getting nuts. You know, every time you see a little bit of stars, you get a concussion. Well, that's twice a week for us as powerlifters, right?
Yeah.
You go for max effort, you're going to see some kind of star. Is that really a concussion? Like, who knows?
Yeah. A lot of it has to do with their training, too. So the guys, you know, their coaches have to take that into consideration when they're training them. And then the UFC, you know, they could get something going where they're having people start to research or at least teach these guys who are coaching their athletes, like, how to do things properly and not hurt these guys, but rather keep them there, able to
the refs do a pretty good job. You know, for the most part, I think the referees, they caution on the side of, you know, being careful rather than, like, letting the fight go too long, which I think is good.
I feel you see a lot of less
– sucks sometimes because you're like,
I don't know where I stand on that camp because I did play football, so it's like they sign on the dotted line and they're changing their lives. So you know that, like – If they say okay, if you put like a line that says, you know, oh, you're gonna, if you get 10 concussions, you know, this could happen.
But you're gonna be wealthy.
They're still gonna sign there, so they know what they're getting themselves into.
Right.
But I don't know.
Do you think it's safer than football? I know it sounds weird because it's fucking guys punching each other in the face.
I don't think that it's safer in football. I think that the weight class, basically, I think for me, the weight classes are basically giving people a chance to fight. So, like, somebody who's 125 pounds, there's probably not going to be, you know, very many fighters at 125 that are as strong as somebody who's at 185.
Yeah.
But, what was the question again?
do you think it's safer than football? You know, because
football is a different beast
with all that equipment on and shit. You know,
the UFC is so young. I feel like the athletes are just kind of making their. And I say athletes, I mean like because when kids are young, they're playing soccer, basketball, so they become a little bit more athletic. They have more of a base, you know. And then football's our sport, so a lot of kids go towards that direction.
Yeah,
I feel like the guys in football. They've been doing it for longer, so I'm not going to say necessarily that there's a higher percentage of them that are better athletically. Yeah. So, like, taking a blow, if you're a receiver and there's somebody who's running a 4.5 40 at you, let's just say, from 20 yards ahead, like, that's going to be a lot, going to be a lot harder hit than, you know, somebody who's standing 2 feet in front of you.
And there's that psychological thing, too, right? When you're padded up, you hit harder.
Yeah.
That's why, like, they're, you know, people don't think, but like rugby's safer than football.
Yeah,
there's less injuries
football
there.
Football players, there's some guys who, if they dedicated their training to other athletic areas, you know, the Olympics or sprinting, they'd be pretty damn good at those too.
Like the Bones Jones family, right?
Yeah,
Two stud athletes in the NFL, and then Bones Jones,
their brother. Yeah.
So. Well, the flip side of that, okay, we had Brock Lesnar go into the UFC and do, you know, pretty well. But now we have CM Punk, who's
What the hell is he gonna do?
Yeah, and he doesn't have the background that Lesnar did. Like, do you think they're gonna be able to prep this guy well enough that he's gonna fight credibly?
Or is that just a moneymaker?
Or is it just a stunt?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They're gonna give him an opponent. Duke Rufus. I think he's training with Duke. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, I'm sure wrestling, he's going to be somewhat decent of an athlete. I don't know. It really depends on his opponent. I don't know.
Yeah, the UFC hasn't done too much. UFC hasn't done too much circusy type shit. The one boxer they brought in, and that one boxer got his ass whooped, and that was about it. That's like as far as they. Do you remember that a couple of years ago they brought in a boxer and he just got a single leg takedown from Randy Couture?
That was pretty much the end of that.
I remember that.
I can't even remember. But that was a veteran boxer who was highly accomplished as a boxer, but he was also past his prime and everything else. But UFC doesn't usually pull like stunts like that. You know, it's I haven't really seen them do that. So that would be a surprise to me. Like if he doesn't have the,
I think actually CM Punk, that's been a long time in the making. I remember I remember going to a fight in Vegas and he was having dinner with Mike, who is the MMA Inc. manager. So I don't think it's something that it popped up to us right now, but I think this is like is 3 years ago at the Palms. Okay. So, you know, it's probably
it is interesting. Though.
He's been training, I'm sure.
He doesn't have one fight, I don't think, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they said he didn't. The UFC does a good job. Like you said, they don't pull stunts, but they do a good job of like building their names and building their brand.
Yeah, I mean, that guy probably has, you know, I see posts about him on Facebook. You know, he probably has 10 million followers and bringing them with him.
Yeah, I know. It'll be a big deal. Well, wrestling and MMA, they compete. You know, they compete for pay-per-view shares and shit like that.
All the white, weird, honky Southern people fans.
Yeah, all the
hillbillies. WWE has some of the weirdest fans.
Yeah. Can't afford that there WWE this month. Yeah. Gonna watch me some UFC.
And NASCAR.
And some NASCAR. Oh, yeah, they love that. Yeah. Fucking NASCAR is huge.
I've never been to NASCAR. Have you guys?
No. I've heard it's pretty cool live, though.
Yeah?
I've not watched any of it.
Loud. I haven't been to, like, a pro race or anything, but just some local shit.
We're going to see a slingshot on Jeff Gordon's car one day?
That would be awesome.
That would be sick.
That would be great. Make him go faster. Bing!
Especially if you could, you know, launch with it. Like it was a...
Actually, you
should sponsor drag racing. That'd be...
Yeah. Oh, it could catch them at the end?
Yeah, yeah. That'd be awesome.
We've actually had... I've actually slung shit with it before.
Oh, the slingshot? Yeah, I'm sure you could. Water balloons or something?
I think... I don't remember what we did.
A kid?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The other parents? Yeah.
Couple children.
Your little daughter across the room?
You got to use the Mad Dog slingshot for that one. Something heavy duty. So what about your own training? What do you got going on with your own training? You've done some powerlifting meets here. You've been part of super training for a little bit, and you competed. Give us some of your street cred. What's some of your numbers?
My street cred. I'm still learning. I'm like a sponge, so I just got to try to take it all in. When I came to super training, I think the day I left Pleasanton, my deadlift was at like 455, and I was probably 250,
right,
245, somewhere in there. And I kind of fully threw myself into the powerlifting stuff. And I think my biggest numbers in a meet, I never did anything with gear, was 620 on the deadlift, maybe 530, 540 on the squat. I'm 6'5", so my squat's not all very impressive. I guess nothing's really very impressive to you guys. But starting the business has kind of taken over liftings for me. And there was like a big chunk of time where I just kind of did random shit just to get a little workout in here and there. So the last 9 months, I've just been trying to build up on the basics. But my goal was to get back to where I was before. So I played with some submaximal loading stuff and kept it light, try to get back to being healthy.
Is the lifting important to you in terms of your business, like in terms of just your mentality and stuff like that? Do you feel like it kind of helps you, helps drive you, helps you?
It's what keeps me sane.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I have to do it.
Right.
It's like my me time, you know? Like, I chop off 2 hours of my day, and I close the doors of my gym, and I just lift by myself. Or I have a training partner, but...
Sounds like you got some emotional problems.
Yeah, exactly. The lights are off and everything. No, but I mean, I need to get it done. So I love to do it, you know? But the further you get into, like... Training as like a career, like the more your time goes to other places, and it kind of brings you back.
Do you do some of the stuff that you do with the fighters on yourself, you know, or do you ever, you know?
It's funny. I do. A lot of people ask me that. Everybody, they all kind of do or work towards the same things. It's just the progressions are different. So like, I'll have, you know, people learning how to squat, but then the MMA guys are squatting, but they're squatting under a load, you know. So I'm not, it's not, I don't do a bunch of crazy different things, and I do the same stuff, but so yeah, I guess I do a lot of stuff. So I don't have a ton of variety. I'm a big fan of being brilliant at basic stuff.
Right.
So just, yeah, everybody kind of does.
Do you have your fighters do regular squats or box squats or mixture of front squats, back squats, and box squats and stuff like that?
Both. They do all of them. They'll do regular front squats are a big part of it. Box squats, front squats to a box. You know.
Do you have some guys?
So we use a lot of specialty bars, cambered bars, yoke bar.
Cool.
Just stuff to keep their shoulders healthy.
Do you have some guys occasionally that are just a mess when it comes to figuring out how to squat?
Not, you know, these guys, they move well, so they're rolling around on mats all day, and right. You know, they're avoiding getting punched, so they tend to move well, so I don't have to deal with like regular people. Really need to learn.
Are you ever concerned about how low they go, or you don't really care? You just want to see good movement. Period.
I would like them. I would like them to be able to squat all the way, like, and do good without a load.
Right.
And then when I know that, then I can load it up. So when they get in camp, I switch from, you know, going down to parallel and that full range of motion stuff. To I don't care about it as much. It's more of people call it a sports squat now.
Yeah.
Where it's gonna be more of the hip angle of the sport that they're going to compete at than it is going to be getting down below parallel.
Might be a little easier for them to organize too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you deal with some of the lighter weight guys. They tend to be a little shorter, right? Chad Mendez is like 5'6". Some of those guys can squat and deadlift pretty naturally.
Yeah. So they're really
Are you calling Chad Mendez short?
No, he's
going to come in here and fuck
I'm
you
scared
up.
Now.
These hopefully, guys don't have any body
Chad,
fat.
That was Silent Mike that said that. I would never say anything like that about you.
Most of these guys don't have any body fat to rely on in terms of, like, heavier weights anyway, I think.
Yeah, why aren't these guys fatter? Why are we
all
so
they,
fat?
All they do is practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You
know, so, I mean, they're training literally 5 hours a day.
What about nutrition? Do you help them with that at all, or do they have a nutritionist, or most of them just eat like pigs and lift their faces off and work out hard?
They just do the Dolce diet.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Beer, a lot of beer.
Mike was fat, wasn't he? I want to talk to that guy. He was a power lifter, right? Mike Dolce. Dolce, I think he was
he's pretty big right now, right?
No, he used to be. I think he used to be 280 pounds. He was a fat power lifter and then got jacked off his little diet and made $1 million off a book.
Damn. Yeah. So the diet stuff, the MMA, it's like a lot of people are pushing things towards the athletes. So there's a lot of shit that goes on. Like, there's been fight guys, like, they'll come to me and they'll be like, I'm going to do paleo. And I'll be like,
paleo is popular, huh?
Don't do paleo. You know, you're an athlete. Right. You probably need a few carbohydrates here. So all I really do is try to filter out bullshit for them. So, like, I know that, you know, like, if it's going to hurt them, I'll be like, hey, man.
Cranberry cleanse diet.
Yeah.
They'll ask you about some weird new supplement
or
something.
They work so much that, like, they can pretty much just eat whatever they are. As long as you keep an athlete in a ballpark. You know, they tend to be okay, so I don't mess with it that much. You know, when they go down,
carbohydrates are going to be important to them because they work out multiple times a day. So in order to recover from that, they're going to need a quick energy source that gets back into their system quickly.
And then my guys don't have a problem cutting weight. I know that's an issue in the UFC. So usually when they come in, when it comes time for them to cut weight, they'll teach them how to cycle their carbs or
you're
not going to practice
a lot of that probably comes from the coaches that are over there anyway, right? A lot
of
that, trial and error.
Well, a lot of these guys
wrestling and they've been cutting weight forever, so like
they got
cutting weight own. You know, as long as they're in like 12 pounds, like it's going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah.
So, and they don't get super heavy, like we don't lift to get huge. I always have to tell them that too, you know. It's like they were like, I want to get huge. It's like, you got to eat a lot.
Have you ever
some heavy weights here? But if you want to get huge, go fucking to McDonald's.
Yeah. Right. Have you ever helped anyone move up a weight class, like in terms of muscle or anything like that? Or most of the guys kind of just stick in their zone?
Move up a weight class. If I had anybody move up, I've never had anybody move up.
Mike wants to move up.
It's always.
I'm ready for the heavyweights.
It's always to keep them in there. One, my goals with I never really want to put a bunch of. Mass on them. I don't want them to gain a ton of
fat or muscle.
I want to train them to be strong, you know. But to do that, you don't have to I don't have to worry about changing a leverage to a lift. You know, they're all about taking down and not being taken down.
What do the guys talk about a lot? You know, in terms of the UFC, do you hear these guys you know, talk about certain fighters just being able to hit super hard, or do you hear them talk about like so-and-so just being the fucking best and being unbeatable? Do you kind of hear the guys talk a little bit about stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like who's a crazy motherfucker?
I mean, it's pretty obvious to everybody who's
yeah, some of the best.
I think they're all crazy people. I mean, yeah. To get locked in a cage and punched in the face.
I've heard of any crazy training methods, like just, I don't know, just people doing some wild shit.
Fuck, I've seen it all. You can go to YouTube and see it all.
Yeah.
Dumb things. I don't know. I don't really want to say it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be calling people.
Do you have any contact, or do you ever talk to any other like MMA, like kind of specialist strength and conditioning guys, or other coaches? Obviously, Alpha Male a little bit, but like from other camps, you try to pick brains, or you know, you said you went to like On It and hung out. You ever meet anybody that's
you know Joel
got some
bit,
good
right?
info? Yeah, is it Joel Jameson?
I read his website a lot. I've never had the opportunity to meet
him.
He's
too smart.
I think I was supposed to go to your house one time when I was in the Bay Area.
Yeah, that guy's too smart. You probably don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, yeah. He's super smart. Mostly it's just reading, and then I'll work with a lot of the guys here, Russ, who was a physical therapist in the area. So just trying to find people who are a lot smarter than me and kind of stay within my realm. But as far as meeting other coaches, not really.
The guys
when I go to those, a big part of me going to their events, I travel to all the guys' fights. Is I usually go stay at a gym, like I'll go check out whatever's the best gym. You know, and learn
try to learn.
Say you know some of these old school like boxing coaches and some of these old school wrestling coaches, they have like a lot of like you know practical knowledge, and you know they might not always be viewed as being like a genius or being super smart in the traditional sense. But those guys have tons of knowledge that you must be able to draw upon, right?
Yeah, you get a lot just from watching the guys. Like Joel has another coach. His name is Matt Hume.
Yeah,
that guy's like a good coach. Like if you put him in any sport, he gets it. Like he understands the players, how to bring it out of them. If you watch him, you know, it's a Jackson's MMA. You know, if you just watch him corner these guys and listen to them and stuff. They're good coaches. Like, good coaches are good coaches no matter what sport they're going to be in. So, yeah. Again, man, I just try to avoid, like, I get them to do things that they're not doing in the boxing because the more you just add in the same stuff, you know, if something's going wrong with them, you're just going to be putting more shit on top of what's already horseshit. So,
So when you travel with them for fights, what do you do? Are you hanging out and watching, or are you supporting him in some way, or what are you?
I used to go over there and it would be like, you know, they'll get breakfast. I'll order the breakfast or do whatever. Uh-huh. But now I really don't have to do anything. Like the weight cuts are a walk in the park. These guys, they're like true veterans. Like Danny fought his 20th fight. Joe's probably fought 100 times. I don't even know what the hell his record was. So they kind of get it. So I don't really have to do much. I don't do shit. Really.
Have a fun
I just
weekend.
Go there and have fun. Yeah.
Is that paid for by sponsors or UFC?
The guys
or...
take care of it. No.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So their coaches are the UFC pays for three coaches to go out there.
Okay.
Sweet.
So that you're just describing though a lot of people out there's dream, you know, just to be able to go to these fights and be behind the scenes and fucking see what's going on and.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people would.
I'm not the You know, I'd rather be in the rafters watching these fights than, you know, be in the corner, you know, because it's not really my thing. You know, I wouldn't really be able to help them. Like, I don't know what the hell.
You're prepping them weeks and weeks in advance. It's more of a long-term thing.
Yeah. It's more of a
than you like helping them the day of, giving them some advice about how they need to like stay on the outside or some shit.
Yeah,
get them knocked out.
Like by the time they're getting ready to go to a fight, like I'm done with them. You know, like
what should I do, coach? I'm not sure.
Don't get hit.
Take them down.
Fucking run away from them.
Don't get hit. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, fucking A.
Yeah.
Well, it's really cool. You know, it's an interesting sport, and you know, I think you broke it down for us pretty well, just kind of by explaining that that coaching is coaching, and that doesn't really matter what sport it is. If you're able to inspire somebody, you're able to motivate them, you're able to kind of get them to listen to at least half of what you're saying, then you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I think the older they get, the more you just become a filter than you are. You know, trying to teach them some new things. You know.
What about like in terms of like so when they do an actual like workout without giving away you know all your advices when they do an actual workout, how much time, you know, let's say they work out for 90 minutes or so, how much time is actually devoted towards lifting? I would imagine there's probably quite a bit of warm up. There's probably some sort of cool down. There's probably some sort of conditioning involved. Is there you know, about how long do they actually lift for?
They're usually in the gym probably in and out 75 minutes. Okay. You know, they come in. It's always kind of the basic
bullshit
thing.
A little
They'll
bit.
Come in, bullshit. I get a feeling of like what their mood is in, if they're happy and talking about the weekend or whatever.
Right.
And then I'll have like a baseline of what I'm going to do. They'll come in, foam roll, get ready to move, do some type of movement prep, work on the range of motion for whatever we're going to do that day. Then they'll work on some power, which could be medicine ball throws, could be jumping, could be both. And then from there, we'll go into some lifting weights. And it really kind of depends on what the goal we're trying to reach is. Right. Reach, and you know, if they're trying to be strong, obviously their rest is going to take longer than you know, if you're just doing body weight type stuff. So they could be in there lifting weights for 30 minutes to
right.
45.
Cool.
Just get them in, get them
and
out.
That's what, three or four times a week?
They come in 2 to 3 times a week.
Right.
2 to 3 times. I get them. I don't get these guys fresh like when they should be lifting. You know, mm-hmm. you know, we lift, so you know, when we go in there and we're ready to go, like I get them like after they just got done getting beat up at Muay Thai, you know, so they're like, oh, somebody punched me in the stomach and I can't fucking breathe. And it's like, oh, shit, no. Now yeah. you want to come over here and lift weights. So we get limited. So I don't get the ideal situations for those guys. So
right.
It's just really simple.
That is interesting, though. I've kind of always thought that, you know, a little lifting can go a long way, especially for a sport such as MMA, where there's so much diversity to the sport. There's so many different things you need to work on. You need to work on your ground game, your stand up, and there's a lot of different aspects to all that that goes into MMA. And so, you know, a little lifting can go a long way, 2-3 times a week.
Keeps you healthy. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. It's you have to do it. It's
right.
just like, you know, like boxing or some other type of a skill. Those guys need to be in there doing it.
Right.
You have to prepare for the long run.
Well, you look at the guys that have neglected it, you know, it ends up showing up somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are, it ends up showing up somewhere at some point. It will catch you if you're not doing all of your homework that you need to be doing.
Strength is never a weakness.
God damn. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right. Well, I think where can people find you? You have a website. You got some interwebbing or something like that, or Facebook or something like that.
Instagram.
I have an Instagram. I'm Amadeo at CSP. I don't have a website.
He's off, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
he's off the grid.
Yeah. I'm at the gym. If you want to find me, I'm at my gym from like 6 in the morning till.
I guess now's a good time to bring it up. He's not an official American citizen yet, so Silent Mike has agreed to marry him.
Here
on
here
today's
for a while.
Podcast. Yeah. It's very nice of you, Silent Mike.
Yeah, taking one for the team.
Extremely thoughtful.
Yeah. Alpha male's paying for it.
God damn.
Yeah. I need it. I need it for my training cert. You know?
Where is your gym located, or you not want people to know?
I'm in Midtown on the corner of 23rd and S. So I'm like right smack on. I'm on R Street actually. So, but I mean, just right there in the middle of the grid. I actually do have a website being built. It's a SAC CSP. SAC. The gym's called Capital Strength and Performance. So,
sweet.
CSP for sure.
For those of you that don't know, Amadeo Novella is actually Taco Truck. He has one of the greatest nicknames in super training history, along with Silent Mike. Silent Mike's not a bad one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's
There's
pretty
a couple good.
Good
ones. Daddy Long Legs I've always liked, but it didn't stick because he got like two jacks.
But now he's a daddy. It's even better. Yeah. He's an actual father now. He could be Daddy Long Legs.
He could be Daddy Long Dick.
Yes.
Yeah, you gave him too many nicknames. What?
I know. What?
Why'd you give him that one?
Well, I used to call him Everlast because he had that skinny-ass beard.
He still does sometimes. Yeah. He does kind of look like Everlast.
Yeah, every once in a while he pulls out the Everlast look.
Yeah.
God damn. Son of a bitch. All right, Taco Truck, it was fucking awesome having you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I think that's pretty much it today. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and I'm at Mark Smilly Bell on Instagram and the Twitters, and may all your shits be tapered.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 Ks, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jim McD, SCTV everywhere, that I would want you to find me. Follow the show on Instagram, Mark Bell's Powercast. Follow the show on Twitter, at SGGMSAC, Facebook.com/supertrainingjim. Thanks a lot.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, Take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's PowerCast is a production of supertraining.tv.